morning, everyone. Welcome to Bridge City Church Murraysville campus. Hopefully you're doing a little bit better now than you were when you came in. Amen. So good to see everyone's smiling faces worshiping God. We're in our last week of the Set Free series. So if you're feeling like you haven't been set free enough yet, you got 7 weeks you can go back and listen to online. We're not done helping you get set free. We're just concluding the series. But I want to start by just inviting you all to come back. For those of you who don't know, we're one church in four locations, and all four of our locations are gathering this afternoon from 3 to 6 p.m. at our North Braddock campus. So if you don't know where that is, there's information on our website. You can go to the connection point in the back of the room, find out more. But we invite everyone, even if you're new here and you're like, I've never been to this church before, we welcome you to come to Growth Track. What Growth Track is it's 3 hours, and there's all of us together listening to our lead pastor, Pastor Rick, for a very short moment. And then there's tracks that you go and learn more. It's more teaching, more seminar. You sit in teaching for a couple hours. There's snacks. Come on, anybody want some snacks? Right? It's completely free. All you have to do is we do ask you to register on that QR code or actually go to the connection point or just show up and we'll take you because we want people to grow. We emphasize growth here a lot at Bridge City Church, so want to make sure to invite you back out. One time a day is not enough. I need at least another one. So 3 to 6 o'clock this evening, you're welcome to join us. Get there early, get a good parking spot. But as we get ready to close this series today, there's a lot I want to uncover to help us not only get set free, but how to stay free. I've mentioned it many times throughout the last 2 months of, you know, the goal is not just to get out of jail free, get out of hell, and get your passport to heaven. The goal is to stay free and really to help others get free. That's really when we're living on purpose and for purpose. But John chapter 8, verse 36, Jesus said this. He said, so if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. And actually, I want us all to read this because reading scripture is really good, especially when it's Jesus' word. So let's all try to read it together. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. That's a good one to memorize. It's short, you know, get yourself a win. You can memorize in other translations as well, but memorizing scripture is such a powerful thing for us to do as Christians, as followers of Jesus, to remember the words of Jesus and the words of God that are spoken to us. But this idea of being set free, really that you'll be free indeed, the definition of that word is actually that liberated, unbound, unshackled, free to realize your destiny in Christ. How many of you want to know God's purpose for you? What's the purpose for your life that God has? Don't we all want to know what that is? And maybe you do know what that is, but we need help walking it out as well. Philippians 1, verse 6, Paul's writing to the church in Philippi here, and he's speaking to believers. Again, he's speaking to Christians, much like this kind of a setting. And he says, I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his good work, his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So he tells them that God began this good work in you, right? You've been set free, but now he's going to continue his work until it's finally finished, until the day Jesus Christ returns. Now, Jesus hasn't returned, so that means there's still work to be done. Anybody else a work in progress? Right? How many of you know your neighbor's a work in progress? The person sitting next to you is a work in progress. Right? We're all a work in progress. And at times it's weird to think of like God doing work. Like God does do work. He talks about his work and how he created the heavens and the earth. He does this work. It's not like we get tired doing work. Jesus is, and God's doing this work in us. He's working in us and through us. Because really to become a follower of Jesus is something that requires the Holy Spirit. It's done by the Spirit. It's done in the Spirit. And I'm going to unpack a little bit more of what that means today because, you know, in Christianity and church at times, we use these phrases that are, we call Christianese. It's like if you're new to it or you've never been around it, you're like, what are they talking about? Being washed in the blood, being led by the Spirit. It's like all these things are like, what are they talking about? It seems weird, right? So I try to unpack and explain some of these. And today, you know, what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? It's not just this ethereal, mystical feeling type thing. We actually can be led by the Holy Spirit of God. And in fact, he says it multiple times. That's what we're going to look at today, is the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. In fact, he says we should desire for the Holy Spirit to fill us. Apostle Paul said to be continually filled. It's like we all leak, right? We have life, we have job, we have stuff. We leak in a sense, but we need more of the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. So there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The God the Father, it's God's with us. He's for us. I'm jumping ahead. God's for us. The Holy Spirit, and Jesus, when he came, he was given the title Emmanuel, God with us. Holy Spirit is actually God in us, God within us. Over and over again, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit dwells within us, that God inhabits the praises of his people. And it really comes to this quote, this idea that we have on the next slide. Being made into the image of God is a process. Remember, we're all a work in progress, right? It's a process produced not by imitation, but by inhabitation. Now, Jesus is the ultimate example, amen? Like, he's like, if we could just do what he did, talk like he talked, be like him, we'd be pretty well on our way. Like, we'd be doing good. But as much as we want to imitate Jesus, it's not just modeling our behavior after somebody or even other good people and good role models. It really is, as a Christian, it's more about inhabitation, the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And a lot of times, I believe many Christians, most Christians, are good, moral, God-loving, nice people. Amen? Okay, a couple of you agree. Most of the people in this room, I believe you're good, moral, nice people. You love God. You try to do your best. But if it's just us trying on our own, we're trying to imitate and let our behavior model, which is good. It's not bad, but it's so much more. It's inhabitation, allowing the Holy Spirit to be within us. So then it's not a matter of what's your personality. It's a matter of your spirituality. Is the Holy Spirit dwelling within me, working within me, moving within me? Can he be seen in my actions in my life, not for the sake of the behavior, but because he's transforming me from the inside out? So being spirit-led provides many things, but we're going to look at three today. Freedom from sin. Right, last 7 weeks, we've been talking about getting set free from mindsets, set free from sin habits, set free from issues of ourselves, being too religious or tradition-based rather than the Spirit of God. We get the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, which we're going to look at today. The fruit of the Spirit, what does he produce in us? What should be coming out of our lives? And the third thing, finding your purpose. Now, this isn't your purpose, your will, your dreams, your desires, your wants. It's really what's God's purpose for your life. It's completely different than what we want, because a lot of times we have a purpose and a plan for our life, but God may have something different in mind. So making sure we're not going against what God wants, but what he has for us. Because you realize God didn't just save you from something, he saved you for something. He didn't just get you out of hell and he wants you to not to be punished for or separated from him. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And finding that purpose, I believe every single person on the planet has what I call a God-shaped hole inside them. Like, they're trying to fill it with religion, through being a good person, all these other things. And really, the only thing that truly satisfies us is finding our purpose in God. That's the most fulfilling thing, is when you can know you're living according to your God-given purpose. Amen? So before we jump into our first point, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for what you've done for each and every one of us. God, that you have made a way that we could be saved from separation, from eternal damnation, from your wrath and your anger. But God, I also thank you that you've saved us for a purpose. So Father, I pray today that your word, your spirit would speak to each and every person here and listening online. God, that you would speak to them. Let it not be my words or my thoughts, but God, I ask for your word, your thoughts, your spirit to speak to each and every one of us right where we are, what you want to say. And Father, I pray you'd receive all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. That's one of those Christianese things we got to learn. Amen. We say amen because we agree with the prayer. We agree with what is said. So first point, freedom from sin. We're going to be primarily looking at several verses in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. Paul's writing to the church in Galatia. He's writing to Christian believers. He says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. So Pastor Eric says, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your own good intentions. How many of you know that times we do things we don't want to do? You do things that you know you shouldn't be doing, but you're doing it anyways. Anyone? Two people are honest. Okay, three people, four people. Can I get five? Can I get six? Thank you. We do things that we don't want to do, and we know they're not the best thing for us, right? That's the sinful nature in us that's warring with the Spirit of God that's in us as well. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you've confessed Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, as the forgiver of your past and leader to your future, you have the Holy Spirit within you. And there's this battle, there's this tension that goes on within us. It's our flesh versus the Spirit, right? Have you ever tried to do a diet? Like, you're going to cut weight, you're going to get healthy, and you go to work, and someone brings in donuts. You got a battle to decide, am I going to eat this, or am I going to stick to what I know is what's best for me, right? I know that's silly, but very similarly in the spiritual, that happens. I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to pray, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to do all these things. And then something bad happens. The kids didn't sleep well last night. A phone call came up, a work thing came up, or, oh, I'm just tired, I'm going to stay in bed. All this stuff comes up, and we have to decide, what are we going to do? Are we going to give in to the sinful nature of our flesh, or trust the Holy Spirit and let Him lead us? And I think it's interesting, he says, your good intentions, you're not free to carry out your good intentions. Again, most of us, we have really good intentions. I believe every one of you, you have good intentions. But good intentions is not enough to actually do the right thing and allow the Holy Spirit to lead your life. Because there's people who have really good intentions, but they keep hurting people. They keep doing the bad thing or the wrong thing. They're not being led by the Spirit of God. They're being led or ruled by their emotions or their feelings or their flesh. So we continue. Verse 18. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. Now, there's kind of these two camps of how we live as Christians. There's what's called legalism, or the law. This is kind of like what he's talking about, the law of Moses. So that's just the rules, the regulations, the traditions, the religion. And the problem with that is your holiness is based on you, rather than your holiness and your righteousness being based on what Jesus Christ has done for you. Your holiness is not how good are you, how much do you know, can you memorize enough verses, can you check mark your attendance at church. That's all legalism, where you have to do a bunch of things to be accepted and loved by God. But then the other extreme is what I call lawlessness, or some people call license, a license to do whatever you want, right? God loves me, He accepts me, I can just do whatever I want, He forgives me. It's like there's kind of some truth to that, but at the same time, that's not the way that we should be living our lives. Just sinning and sinning and sinning and doing whatever I want, living for me, and not having. So both of these, I think sometimes we swing between both. And some people go, well, it's a mix of both. And I say, actually, there's a better way. There's a superior way. It's under the law of grace, that there is grace. And grace isn't something that, well, I can just do whatever I want, and God's going to forgive me. That's not grace. That's mercy, but that's not grace. Grace is not so that we could ever say, well, I don't have to do that or I can't do that. Grace actually empowers you so that you can. So when you say, I don't have to do that, you're like, you're right. You don't have to, but with God's grace, you can. You can get set free from sin. You can choose to follow the Spirit of God rather than your selfish, sinful nature. We can be directed by the Spirit, not under the obligation of the law of Moses. That word directed, it actually means to lead or to bring. It gives the idea of, what says it right there? It's used in various contexts in the New Testament, often implying guidance, direction, or the act of bringing someone or something from one place to another. God is moving us from one place to another. You know, everywhere Jesus went, as we read the Bible, every person Jesus encountered, He didn't just leave them the way they were. Right? The woman caught in adultery, he said, go and sin no more. He said, you should change your life. I love you enough to not leave you the same. I love you so much that I'm gonna bring healing. I'm gonna bring forgiveness. I'm gonna bring mercy. I'm gonna bring love. And I want you to change your life. I want you to follow me. Right? The idea of he loves you and accepts you exactly how you are is true, but he also loves you so much he wants you to have a better life. He wants you to move to become more like him. So to be directed by the Spirit, it's to guide us, to direct us. God's moving us. He's bringing us from where we are to where he wants us to be. And again, it's a process. It's not one day he flips a switch and there we are, but it's a process of continually being directed, led, and guided in our lives. He leads us by his Spirit. Excuse me. Verse 19, he says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. He said all these types of sins. He goes, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. He lists all these sins. What's in common with all sin? It's selfishness. It's selfishness. All sins can really be rooted back to what's in it for me. How do I serve me? What does me, myself, and I get out of doing any of those lists of sins? He says, and others like these, they're selfish. They fulfill yourself. So he says, let me tell you, anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now what he's saying is, if you have sin in your life, it doesn't mean you're cast out of heaven. You're never going to spend eternity in heaven. But he says, when you live that lifestyle, when you desire to participate again and again and again and again in these kind of sinful lifestyle, not stumbling. See, there's a difference between stumbling and living a lifestyle. We all have sin. Every single one of us have sin. I have sin. We fall into sin. We stumble. But the difference is we should quickly say, God, I'm sorry. I repent. I turn from that and I go back to the way I'm supposed to go. We turn back to God. We ask for forgiveness. We repent of our sin. He says, anyone who lives this lifestyle, what he's really saying is going to be separated from God. Hell is a separation from God. It's not just a punishment and a fire and a torment and a place. It is all those things. But really, it's a separation from God. Sin separates us from the presence of God. So when we sin or when we actively participate in these lifestyle choices and these actions, we're separating ourselves from God. That's what he's saying, when you will not inherit the kingdom of God. We will not be able to receive because we're separated from him. So a question for us all is, are we being guided, directed, and led by the Holy Spirit? Well, how do we know? How do we really know if we're being led? Well, there should be some indicators. And, you know, actually, when temptation comes, I know people say, like, man, I got temptation, I got challenge, I got problems, I got these things. And the lie that the enemy tries to say is, because you're being tempted, you must not be a good Christian. Because you're being tempted, you must be weak. Because you're being tempted, but guess what? Jesus was tempted. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. Jesus was tempted, and it says, in every way he faced and challenged, but yet he did not sin. So temptation might be an indicator you're on the right path. And there's a quote from Pastor Chris Hodges, pastor of Church of the Highlands in Alabama. He says, temptation is a test of your relationship, not your self-control. Temptation is a test of your relationship. But you know, when temptation comes, usually it's, how do I avoid this? How do I stop participating? How do I not fall into the trap? And it's often about our self-control. Rather than, how's your relationship with God? Is your relationship with God so good that when the temptation comes, it's really not a temptation? Like Jesus, he had such a oneness and a relationship with God the Father that when temptation came, it really wasn't an issue. It wasn't his self-control, it was his relationship that made the difference. I mean, take any marriage. If your marriage is so good, is so rich, is so healthy, like when I focus on Rachel and I talk about Rachel and I pray for Rachel and I'm so focused and our relationship is so strong, there is no temptation. It doesn't even affect me. I just go, I'm so focused on this relationship. The same thing with God. When we are so in love with God, when we see how he fills us, he satisfies us, his love for us, that relationship is so strong. It's not about your self-control. It's all about the relationship. Focus more on the relationship, not on the self-control. You know, if I had to ask you, how's your relationship with God? Then the question is, would God agree with you? Right? If you ask a husband, I meet with guys usually, how's your marriage doing? Oh, it's great. We're doing wonderful. We're fine. It's like, now if I talk to your wife, would she say the same thing? Well, you know, we've had some challenges, right? Then the honest answer comes out. Likewise, when we go to God, we say, how are you doing with God? How's your relationship with God? Now, let me be real honest. We all can get better. We all can do more. Nobody prays enough, reads their Bible enough, witnesses enough. I don't do all those things enough, right? But it's, how's your relationship? Are you growing and pursuing God in that relationship? Let's get better each and every day. So we get freedom from sin, then we get the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Nine things that are a result of the fruit that he produces. And this is one of my favorite lines in the Bible. There is no law against these things. He's like, you can't get enough of it. You can't have too much. Have as much as you want. Right? Not contrast that with the list we just read, the immorality and the lust and the sinful things. You can overdo it real quick on any of those. Right? One is too much. But yet, here's this list, and he says this fruit that's produced in your life, there is no law against these. You can't overdose on peace. You can't overdo it on kindness. Right? Like, you can have as much as you want. Now, some people, depending on your personality type, you're like, man, that person's just so happy. Like, it's like too much positivity, too much happiness. But like, it's okay. Let them be joyful. Let them have the love and that joy and that peace and the faithfulness and all these that the fruit of the Spirit produces in our lives. You know, Galatians chapter 5, the first half, it talks about living free in Christ. Then the second half, actually in the subheading of these 11 verses, talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. And as I was preparing for this, it struck me of like, man, I think of power as like miracles and healing and raising the dead and like powerful things, right? Prophecy and all these, the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 and other areas. And I go, I don't think I'd really think of somebody who's gentle as really powerful, like spiritually powerful. But if this is the subheading in the Bible, like this is how you live in the power of the Holy Spirit, to have love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness. These are spiritually powerful elements of our lives. That when you see somebody who has joy, when you see someone who's patient, when you see someone who has self-control, that's the Spirit's power at work just as much as all the other miracles and the spiritual gifts. But yet we don't usually recognize that as such, right? Seeing the gifts in somebody, the spiritual gifts, as well as the fruit that's produced in our lives are just as powerful. We see the goal of the gifts, the goal of growing in the Spirit and allowing the Spirit to lead our lives isn't just about us and what we get out of it. It's what do we give to others as well, right? This fruit of the Spirit. A tree produces fruit, but it doesn't consume the fruit, right? An apple tree isn't eating its own apples. The point of it is to produce the fruit, to spread more fruit, to plant more trees, to feed animals, to feed people, to feed. The point of a tree and a fruit is to produce something outside of itself. Yet, when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, these are all things we want, right? We want for us, but they're meant to be produced from within us to benefit others, to help others see the Holy Spirit within us, but not for us. It's all about feeding and benefiting and blessing others to continue to multiply what is already within us, multiplying the Spirit of God within us. Verse 24. He says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, Let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. That word follow, it says walking in line, following someone else. The illustration is actually like marching, like a military guys would be marching left, right, left, left, right, left. They're marching in step, following closely. So when he says follow, let us follow the Spirit's leading, it's like Holy Spirit's in front and we're following closely behind. It's not, Jesus isn't your co-pilot, at least he shouldn't be. He should be flying, he should be driving, he should be leading. He goes first and we follow him. And it's a switch sometimes, just a slight perspective switch of I'm not asking God to follow me. I'm not asking God to join my plans. God, would you bless my plans, my will, my day? It's God, where are you going? And I want to follow you. Following him means he goes first, then we follow behind. But also with that word, follow, it actually gives an indication of there should be others following us as well. Right? Again, that who's receiving the fruit that you're producing? What the fruit that the Holy Spirit's producing through you should be benefiting other people as well. So how do we know if we're being led by the Spirit? Well, what's following you? Does joy follow you? Does gentleness follow you? Does kindness follow you? Does self-control follow? Can you look at your life and see the fruit that's produced in your life, and is it blessing other people? Reality is time will tell and fruit doesn't lie. Right? You can take orange off an orange tree and put it on a fruit tree, and it kind of looks like an orange tree for a little bit, but eventually it's not gonna last. Right? It's gonna rot, it's gonna fall off. And sometimes we put on these things. We try to put on behavior. We pretend on Sunday morning, especially. It's like everything's good, we're happy, we're joyful, but then like Tuesday at group, it's like, man, my life's a mess right now. Like, be honest. You got to be honest with somebody. I get it. Don't post on Facebook. That's probably the least helpful thing. But tell somebody. Have someone you go to say, look, I need some help being led by the Spirit of God in my life. I need some help. I need some love. And you know, the fruit of a tree determines what's within it. An apple tree cannot produce pears. So if the Holy Spirit's not within you, you're not going to be able to produce the good things that the Spirit produces. If anger and resentment and bitterness and all this malice and negative things is what comes out of you, then you probably have too much of you and not enough of the Holy Spirit. And look, I get a little of the old me sometimes creeps in. I get a little anger and someone cuts me off and rope. I got to stop and say, sinful nature, you die. Spirit, help me. I'm just being honest. We're in church. We can be honest, okay? We can be real. Just because it creeps up doesn't mean you have to give in to it. Like, remember that war that's going on? Which one are you going to feed? Are you going to feed the sinful nature or feed the Spirit of God? Because the fruit is not for us to consume. It's for us to give away. We want to make sure we're giving away the right fruit, the right things that people need in their lives as well. Third thing we got freedom from sin, fruit of the Spirit, finding your purpose. Finding your purpose. Galatians 5:13. So this is actually about 11, 12 verses before. This is how he sets up this whole really chapter, the second half of this chapter. He says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature." Again, that license, that mercy, that forgiveness. He says, you've been set free, but don't use it for yourself. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Again, your freedom is not for you to get free. It's for you to help others, to serve one another in love. And then he says, for the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. He's speaking to these guys. Most of them were Jewish at the time. They would have been thinking like, wait, there's 613 commandments in the law of Moses, and you're going to tell us it comes down to this? Just love your neighbor as yourself? No, it's got to be harder than that. He says, no, the whole law can be summed up in this. Love your neighbor as yourself. He says, don't use your freedom for you. Use it for others. Look to your neighbor. And he's talking like within the church, but then outside the church as well. Love your neighbor as yourself. So what are we set free to do? What are we set free to? We're free to love. You're free to serve. You're free to give generously of your life. You're free to grow. All these things are things that the enemy and our sin and our old sinful nature tries to keep us from doing. But the Holy Spirit of God says, no, you're free to love. You're free to love. God wants you to be free to love again. True love. The Bible says we can't love unless we have the love of God within us. That if we don't have the love of God, we're not free to love. But when we get set free, when we're led by the Spirit of God, we're free to love. We're free to serve one another, to give to one another, to help one another. You're free to grow, to become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. You're free to live with joy, with peace, to be on purpose and living for your purpose. We listen to the lies that say, and help us focus and make us focus on all the things that rob us of joy, right? Inflation, your team didn't win the Super Bowl, all this other stuff, the weather, right? I mean, they're silly, but these things that so easily steal our joy. And fill in the blank for you, whatever it is, like you had a bad day at work or your car wouldn't start or whatever. And those are real issues, real challenges, right? But it should not allow us to lose our joy. Joy is a fruit that the Holy Spirit's producing within us. When we're truly pursuing God and we truly have the Holy Spirit within us, joy is a result. Peace is a result. Living on purpose is a result. You'll see and know the satisfaction, the love of God, and you'll be set free to become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Not just getting set free once, but living in freedom. Fulfilling the purpose of God for your life to help others encounter him as well. You know, we have a thing called Victory and Freedom. We do it a couple times a year. It's men and women separate. We really help people get set free from their past and have victory into their future. It's $25. It pretty much covers your food for the day. I invite you to get signed up for this. If you've never been to it, or it's been a while, get signed up. There's actually only a handful of spots left for the ladies. We do cap it because we want it to be an intentional time of really helping you experience victory and freedom. You can sign up by scanning the QR code on the website, go to the connection point. I share this because I care about your victory. I care about your freedom. I want you to get set free and stay free and learn how you can help others get free as well. If you have any issues with paying for that or getting registered, please see us. Please talk to us. We want to make sure you get there. It's coming up March 7th and 8th, which will be here sooner than we realize. But I want to close with this, and we're actually going to have prayer time today. I invite everyone to stand to your feet. As 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's freedom. And I know most of us have been set free, but there's more freedom to be had. It's not just salvation. There's more freedom to be had, and it's a lifelong process of getting set free and living in freedom. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is where freedom is. He is freedom. He is love. He is generosity. He is the outpouring of himself on us, and we get to receive that when we're in his presence, when we experience and encounter the living God. That's who we worship. That's who we pray to. That's why we're here. It's all for him. In this moment, I just ask that you'd take this moment to, as we enter prayer, as we enter, we're going to worship some more. I believe there's some of you here right now. I just felt it in prayer this morning. I feel it right now that God's speaking to some of you right now about his love. That word love, it's so undefined in our world and our culture. But the Bible says that God is love. That he has agape love. It's the Greek for his love. It's an unconditional kind of love that's unlike anything else that we can experience. It's the love of a perfect father. The perfect Father who loves you and wants what's best for you. I believe love's been robbed from some of you. I believe some of you, you've been in a relationship where you were supposed to experience love and you experienced something else. You experienced trauma. You experienced abuse. You experienced the betrayal. And I believe it's caused you to hold back from being able to love again. And I'm here to say God wants you to get set free from that. He wants today to be a day of freedom for you so you could experience His love once again. That every need you have, every desire you have could be fulfilled in His love. The love of a Father who cares so deeply about you. Regardless of your earthly father, regardless of a marriage, regardless of anything you've experienced up to this point, I believe He wants to instill and remind you of His love, His perfect love for you. You don't have to do anything but receive it to allow Him to love you. Let Him begin to do a healing work within you. As you let His Spirit dwell within you, as you ask Him for more of Him, He's going to heal you. He's going to do a work in your heart and in your mind. He's going to move you from one place to the next. Little by little, more healing, more freedom, more being able to receive His love. So if that's you here today, and I believe we all can receive more of God's love, right? More of His freedom, more of His forgiveness. I just want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person here. God, that we'd be set free from our old selves, from our sinful nature. God, that You'd set us free from any trauma, from any pain, from any betrayal. God, You'd set us free from unforgiveness. God, help us walk in forgiveness. Help us walk in freedom. Help us see not what we've lost or what's in the past, but God, what You have in store for our future. God, that You have good things planned for us, that You're still working. God, that all things are going to come together for Your good, for Your glory, for Your honor. God, I ask that You would hear our prayers this morning, as I know You do. Help us take steps to follow You, to allow You to direct and guide our lives each and every day this week and from this day forward. Father, I pray if there's anybody here right now, in this moment of prayer, if you don't know that you're going to spend eternity in heaven, that you have a relationship with God the Father who loves you so much, I want you to make that decision today. You can choose to accept Him as the forgiver of your past. He can wipe away all the sins you've ever done. He can forgive you. He can pay that debt. He already has done the work. All you got to do is say, yes, I want to be forgiven. I know I've sinned. I know I've messed up. I know I've fallen short. I haven't been perfect. And Jesus, I want You to forgive me. I repent of those things. I turn from those ways that I've been living. I've been living for myself, and now I want to live for You, Jesus. I want to figure out what that means from this day forward. If that's you today, I just ask you to slip up your hand right where you are, and I want to pray for you. You say, I want to be forgiven of my past, and I want God to start leading my future. Amen. Anyone else? Just slip up your hand right where you are, and I'm going to pray for you. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank You, God, for those making that decision, God, to allow You to forgive them once again. God, they need to be forgiven. We all need forgiveness. But God, I pray that it wouldn't be something we have to do, but God, we would just receive and accept and know Your love for us. It's not based on what we do, but it's all based on what You have already done for us. And Father, I pray from this day forward, they'd walk with You more closely. God, they'd follow You step by step, allowing You to lead their lives as they look to lead others to You as well. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, at this time, prayer teams, you could be dismissed to the back. I invite everyone to go receive prayer. You can go with your spouse. If you have a child, you can go to receive prayer. And we're going to have two songs. We're going to worship. We're going to pray. If you want to read your Bible, I ask that this not be catch-up time and chit-chat time, but let's pray. Let's worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can go back to one of the teams. We're going to pray for infilling of the Holy Spirit. We need more of Holy Spirit, less of me. If you need any one of those three things I mentioned, I need freedom from sin. You don't even have to tell them a sin if you don't feel comfortable. Say, I need freedom from sin. Would you pray to help me get free from sin? And they'll pray for you. I want more of the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Ask for that, they'll pray for you. Say that you need to figure out your purpose and find your purpose. They're going to pray for you. you can give them some direction. If there's any needs going on, we want to pray for you. This is a time to receive prayer and to worship. So church, let's worship.